Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Thrones. I'm your DM, Hunter, once again accompanied by Zach and Parker, and we are so excited to share another lovely episode of our beloved series with you all. A little recap for what happened last session. It was finally time for the dragon, the white dragon that has plagued the Storm Coast for weeks now, maybe months, finally made its descent upon the town of Fendallen. Fortunately enough, amongst our heroes, the Orcbane, Hathron, was awake and had seen the dragon's arrival coming. He was able to help rally the guard in defense of the town, which admittedly did not do much, but they were able to evacuate a lot of the citizens. Daedalus and Alistair joined the fray shortly thereafter after the alarms were raised. Hathron engaged in a legendary clash with the dragon via a sort of grappling hook maneuver, modifying a javelin to have a extended rope to it. He grabbed onto it, and the javelin made impact into the dragon, and Hathron went flying with him. After a struggle and some ground-to-air missile support from Alistair's fireballs on his necklace, the dragon was wounded deeply, not without taking out its own share of chunk out of the party, as Alistair was mortally wounded and knocked unconscious. He did survive, but he is in very, very rough shape, having to make death-saving throws currently. Hathron survived the encounter, the dragon escaping his clutches just in time, but missing a large portion of one of its wings, barely able to keep itself flying at this point. Half the town is destroyed. Many citizens are frozen, solid statues for eternity at this point. But we will see who lived, who died, and we will see how widespread the destruction is, and what will the party do from here now that the dragon has come and made its presence known, and now that the dragon knows that the party can hurt him, specifically the Orcbane. The dragon will have its vengeance, but we will pick up from where the dragon is leaving the town currently. The dragon is ascending to the sky, probably about 400 feet in the air. And he calls out, his voice bellowing across all of the most recent areas from the King's Road to the Boar's Trail, in and out of Fendallen. Anyone within a couple miles radius can hear this call as the dragon calls out,
"I am Volcanon, the White Death. And I will have my vengeance, Orcbane."
And he flies further and further to the south towards his lair at Icefire Peak, eventually disappearing from vision, and the cloud lines recede. It is now early morning hours as the attack happened at night. And Hathron, we're going to pick up with you. You watch as the dragon flies away after making his call. You remember the name Volcanon, the White Death, and his call to you that he would have his vengeance, that he would face you again. You remember your allies had engaged in combat with the dragon from the ground, but you have no idea what's happened to the party. Nor do you have an exact understanding of the damage to this area and what the dragon did. So, that being said, what would Hathron, the Orcbane, defender of the town of Fendallen, like to do at this point?
All right. You said I watched the dragon fly away. Which direction did it go?
South.
South? Okay. I just need that for my notes. Hathron's going to take a second and look around, kind of survey the damages. And while he's looking around, he remembers that he, for a brief moment during the combat, was around his companions while he was on top of the dragon. And so he's going to head off back to where he believes that occurred.
Okay. So the last time you saw the party was they came out of the inn, the Stonehill Inn, which would be near the center of the town, near their main courtyard. So you're going to head there. On your way there, Hathron, you're making your way through. Is that, if you recall, the crash with the dragon where he crashed into the farmer's field to the southeast of the town, and you landed amongst the shingles on the rooftop of that building, eventually landing in the field below as well. You're in the southeast far end of the town, so you have to travel through all the city streets from the southeast to the center of the town. And as you traverse the streets of the town of Findown, you can see that any bannerments, any decorations, shingles on rooftops, all of these things were ripped off clean like a tornado had rolled through here. Any water sources that you see from any wells, any sort of buckets or cups that are left out with mead in them, anything like that you see, or even puddles in the street, they are frozen over currently. You also see that the city streets are eerily quiet. You can hear screaming in the distance, as if they're coming from the King's Road or the Boar's Head Trail. You don't quite see exactly where your party is, but you can see this. You see many lights coming from near the courtyard where you're already heading, like where seems to be where a lot of survivors have gathered. As you make your way to the courtyard, you do see, every so often, you see a statue. Or, rather, what was once a person. People that you've passed in these streets. Now frozen. In place. In an eternal state of fear. Looking up towards the sky at an now invisible foe that is long gone. The dragon ended their lives in but an instant with but a few breaths of air. You see how fragile the lives of these people were and how many had passed in so quickly. You begin to think, what would have happened if you had not acted in the way you did? Had you not been here, what could have happened? As you make your way through the courtyard, you eventually find the rest of the party. You follow some lights, you see a few people moving in and out of city streets, when eventually you see Aelin Kazarn instructing a few men to move here, move there. You see him down one of the small city streets, one of the alleyways. He sees your approach. His eyes grow wide. By the gods, you're alive. How did you survive that?
The dragon ran away.
Yes, I heard his call. He spoke your name specifically. Did you wound him?
Yes. Now, the dragon will return. Where is Darkheart?
You see his face kind of turns a little dark when you say that. He kind of has a sour look on his face. He looks down. He is in critical condition currently. Your other ally, Daedalus, is with him that way. He points further down the alley. And you kind of look over his shoulder and you can see Daedalus kind of crouched over an unconscious Alistair's body. And around Daedalus is another one or two militia members that are bringing a gurney over to pick up Alistair and put him on it.
As Hathron walks past Aelin, he's going to turn and then he's going to tell Aelin, you should take your people and abandon this town. The dragon will return soon. And then I'm going to keep walking towards Daedalus and Alistair.
All right. As you make your way over, Hathron, Daedalus hears your voice. He kind of turns his head, looking back at you over his shoulder. He gets from one knee and stands up. You can see that Daedalus has some wounds. It's not critical, but you can see that his armor has some new dents, scratches. He has a few cuts here and there and some bleeding from one of his shoulders. And you can see this look of concern on his face, that he's very worried. He turns to you and he nods his head as you approach. Orcsbane, seems you've made yourself a new enemy, the dragon. He knows you now. What did you do to him?
A wound he will not forget.
a wound that he will want to repay to you, the debt, in a way. Alistair was not so lucky. He turns and he points, or kind of motions towards him. The dragon you noticed during the combat, of course. When it made landfall, it crushed the building on the alleyway we were in. Alistair was directly beneath the dragon. He has very many wounds, bones broken. He likely has internal bleeding of some kind. We need to find Lady Adabra. Or Stern. Someone that is relatively equipped in the arts of healing magic.
She was not at her tower.
Not there, or buried beneath it. You see Daedalus kind of raises an eyebrow.
If she was in there, she would most certainly be dead. But when I arrived there, the only thing there was two guards who were obviously swiftly taken out. As for Stargleam, I have not seen him.
As you finish up that sentence, the two militiamen pick up Alistair and manage to motion him onto the gurney. And they pick him up and they state that they are taking Alistair to the Stonehill Inn, as that's going to be the staging point for any wounded or people that are in need of some form of care and can't take care of themselves at this point. They go ahead and they start moving Alistair. Daedalus follows. As he's walking, do you go with Hathron?
Yeah, I could use a drink.
All right, as you go with, you see Aelin Kazarn is currently stationed at the inn. He's kind of, as they're bringing in more wounded or more just people that have been displaced, lost their homes, he's just kind of dispatching where they're supposed to go, who goes here, who goes where. As the party approaches, Aelin says, he makes a motion to a couple of the militiamen. They open the doors and they tell you to take Alistair directly to his room. Immediately, the militiamen with the gurney take Alistair up the stairs and move him to our lodgings, which have managed to stay relatively set aside for us, as Aelin knows that Alistair has been wounded. As we walk inside, we don't see Lady Adabra, but there is Stern Stargleam. As we walk inside and Aelin makes his signal, just a slight whistle out to the crowd, you can see Stern's avian form, his head peek out from amongst the crowd, his head tilt for a second, his eyes blink. Oh no. And Stern immediately starts moving over towards us. He looks at Alistair and his wounds, and he sees that Alistair's bleeding in multiple locations, and he can see the swelling and the large bruising across Alistair's abdomen and pelvis. His hands are mangled messes, many fingers broken, the arms. You can't tell if it's dislocated or if something's completely shattered at this point. Stern looks at him. He is going to be quite a case. Get him upstairs quickly. And immediately, they rush upstairs. He follows. Immediately, Stern begins to work on Alistair, performing divination rites and different forms of magic. He begins trying to get Alistair to consume some form of potion in his stupor, his state. As this is going on, Daedalus approaches you, Hathron. He kind of motions for you to walk over to a small area with him, sort of away from Stern and whatever militiamen are nearby or whatever nurses are helping him. So, do you think we can kill it? After what you've seen?
Absolutely.
It's going to be some time before it comes back with those wounds. What do you think we do?
Well, if it's up to me, I'm going to go after it. The longer we wait,
the more time it has to heal. Right now it is weak, weaker than it likely has ever been.
If we go after the dragon now, we are going into its den, its lair. It's not likely to be alone. Even white dragons manage to subjugate a few to their service. We may be able to kill the dragon, but it is a fight that we will return from with just the three of us, or two of us now, if he doesn't improve.
I see your point, but I still favor myself.
Nadeless nods. Just thinking over your motion, what you're kind of suggesting. You are correct. If we wait too long, the dragon will come back. And we'll take time for it to heal from the wounds that it suffered. But the longer we wait, the more time it has to heal. But if we were able to gather allies, even a small force, something more than what we have now. As of now, we are at our weakest as well. When we were originally thinking about attacking this dragon, we were talking about having the militia at our backs. Not just the three of us. Now down to two. I believe you when you say that you can kill it, that we could kill it. I suppose we see if Alistair will awaken, and if he does, we consult with him. And if he agrees with you, then we make our march to the south. We could take the dragon out as soon as possible, unless we come up with any other ideas.
I agree, Darkheart should be the one to make the call. This is his adventure. That is, if he wakes up.
Daedalus kind of turns his head to the side and looks over at Stern. How is he? Stern looks back. He's kind of frantically working. Kind of peeks his head back. He is in a rough state, but he will survive. He's taking well to the healing potions and the divination rites. But he will need a few hours before he awakens. But he will heal. He will, for the next few days, struggle. May have a limp, maybe in some pain, but he will awaken. This kind of healing, although effective for broken bones and things like that on this scale, it will take time for him to completely heal. That being said, I have done all I can this evening. I have others I must attend to. He's stable. And Stern takes a courteous bow. I suggest when you get the chance, you see if you can find Aelin. Maybe he can send you to other survivors or someone who may be able to help. I have no idea what's happened with Tora after she left. But I was listening in on your conversation. There are those who would join you in that march to the south, even as weak as we are now. The dragon must be dealt with. I would gladly go if Aelin gives the okay. I would gladly go. You'll need my assistance in case any of you are injured in the first place. Maybe Aelin himself will go. He could maybe take a detachment. But that is up to men of higher ranking than myself, and I have other worries and a family to see to. Good luck. He heads downstairs, leaving the room and clearing it with the other militiamen. They follow him out. Athron, do you want to stay here and wait for Alistair to wake up? Or do you want to go ahead and go talk to Aelin? You have your choices.
I am going to go. Where did Aelin go?
Did he go downstairs?
Galen's still in the inn. He's just coordinating traffic, and it's the inn is sort of like a staging point right now. So the militia are here, and all the wounded and injured and people who have, you know, been displaced from their homes. So he's using it as sort of an HQ right now.
Okay. So yeah, I'll go talk to him. And while I'm Daedalus, down there, I want to get a drink.
Daedalus elects to stay. He's just going to sit here and wait for Alistair to wake up. So you make your way downstairs. You don't see the barkeep. You don't see any of the wenches that normally serve the drinks here, but you can see the bar top is completely open and that some people are helping themselves, like different militia members and survivors. Right. You feel free and you just walk up, grab a mug of ale, or not even a mug. You go over and grab a small sort of cask and you just take the cork out of it and take the whole cask for yourself. You have this small, sort of like mini barrel, like 10 gallons of mead that you can just kind of drink on whenever you need it. And as you do this, you can see not that far down the actual bar top is Aelin on the other side of the bar. He's sitting there. You can see a sort of map laid out before him of the Storm Coast itself, Icespire Peak marked with a specific blue flag and where Fendallon is marked with a red flag. You can see on the map as well, he's marked different locations that the party has been to, like the Dwarven Excavation, down where we adventured to deal with the orcs, the lighthouse. And you can see he's also marked down Waterdeep and a few other places that you can't quite identify because you haven't been there before. As you approach, Aelin looks up at you. Orcsbane. Quite the shitstorm now that the dragon has made its way here. I have to thank you for your bravery. You might have saved the whole town single-handedly. There were some sacrifices, but we would have lost more without your bravery, and I thank you for that. He sticks his hand out to yours.
I shake it. Hathron shakes it.
He shakes it and once again thanks you. I believe you have questions or something to bring to my attention. Normally you're not a small talk kind of person, I've gathered.
Yes. Earlier I told you you should take your people and leave. Have you considered this option?
Currently, we are too short-staffed of militiamen to stage a full-scale evacuation of the town. We are looking for survivors, gathering the dead, and in maybe a few days' time, the survivors will be able to leave here. Those who already left, some have already returned to gather the rest of their belongings. Those who can leave are more than welcome to and have already begun preparations, but those who can't, we will have to do on our own.
Is there another town or perhaps a lord that presides over these lands that you could contact for aid?
Well, the closest town would be the city of Waterdeep, and the lord of this land is currently unconscious upstairs and is not a lord in his own words. So no. Currently the plan is, let those who can evacuate themselves evacuate themselves. Let them figure out where they want to go. Most will go to Waterdeep. Those who can't, we will get out in a few days' time, maybe a week. It depends on their injuries. Of the guard, I have half the force that I once had. Half the men have died or they ran away in fear. And they're unlikely to return. Which, I don't blame them. Seeing the dragon again was not a welcome sight, something I did not ever want to see again. But my family made it out, and some others did as well. We need to deal with this dragon, and soon.
Yes, I agree. I'll do what I can. Hopefully, if we don't kill it soon and it does return, I am here. However, I would wish you luck. Your men did a fine job. And then I'm going to take my booze and head back upstairs.
Aelin nods at what you say. As you head back upstairs, you see that Alistair has begun to stir. Daedalus looks at you as you walk in, and Alistair, at this point, you are beginning to come back to your senses. You are sore. You can feel this. I would say it's not that the bones are broken, but they are healing from being broken. So you can definitely feel that they were broken at some point, and you are aching all over. You're swollen. Parts of your body are black and blue, purple. You have very limited range of movement, specifically to your hips and to one of your arms. And as you go to kind of sit up and stir in your bed, you can feel this sharp pain all over your body. One of your arms is in a sling right now. Your right arm is in a sling tight to your chest. You have bandages over parts of your body. And as you stir, you can see Daedalus sitting across from you, his plate armor half on. He's taken off the majority of it. And you can see Hatheron standing near the door as he walks in drinking from a cask of ale. They both turn and look at you. Well, you're alive. For a second there, you had me scared, Darkheart. Daedalus says to you.
He groans in pain, kind of grabbing at the shoulder that's up in a sling. And he looks at Daedalus. What happened after I went out?
Well, what happened was the Orc Bane was able to wound the dragon. He, from what I saw from my position on the ground, almost chopped off one of its wings. The dragon was barely able to gain enough strength to fly. It limped, licking its wounds, back to Icespire Peak. The Orc Bane nearly killed the dragon, thanks to your ground-to-air support. But a large portion of the town is destroyed. Lady Adapra is missing. We still don't know where Tora and Fatmouth are. They haven't returned yet. Most of the town is evacuated. Those who can't evacuate are wounded or dead. Half the guard is either dead or fleed themselves. Aelin is leading a skeleton crew at this point. The town's defenses are leveled. And what buildings are left are little more than rubble other than the inn. But you're alive. The dragon is wounded and is unlikely to return at least for a few days. It will take time to heal that sort of wound. But when it is healed, it is going to come back. When you were unconscious, it made a call to the Orcsbane, to this town, that it would have its vengeance. It would repay the debt that Hatheron has given it. I know you've just awoken, but there are decisions to make, important ones. But there are others that we must speak with. Aelin Kazan is downstairs. And we are likely to need to go find Lady Adabra and perhaps Nibbenbot Fizzle as well. But when you have the energy, I can have Aelin come to you, meet you here. Is there anything you need to tell him, Atheron? He kind of looks over at you.
Sure. Two things. He's a hell of a lot stronger than he looks. And two, regardless of if he could walk or not, regardless of if he can breathe properly or not, and regardless of how he feels, this town needs a leader now. Regardless of whatever reservations you might have, Darkheart, by all rights, you are their leader. And if you will not step up in this moment, then no one will. I certainly will not. The dragon is my problem, sure. This town, no.
In this moment, Alistair bathes in these words that you all are both exchanging with him. The words that Daedalus speaks set foot first, causing Alistair to disassociate. Could he have saved more lives if he wasn't so rash in his decision-making? That look is plastered all over his face. You can see regret turning deep within his eyes. And then Hathron begins to speak. And slowly, as Hathron continues to speak, slowly turns to Hathron. And that look of regret turns into a glimmer. A glimmer of hope. Because he knows deep down inside that Hathron is right. Without a leader, the town of Phandalin will fall. And Alistair, albeit stubbornly, starts to get up from his bed. And he stumbles a little bit and lands on all fours. Could one of you come help me up, please?
Daedalus moves over to you. Easy now, Darkheart, easy. He helps you to your feet.
We must go find Lady Adabra and make sure she is okay. She is a valuable asset. Then we must go seek out Nibbin. There is no time to waste. I have no time to heal, but I will need one of you to carry me or support me while we go wherever we need to go.
Daedalus looks at you, and you can see the look on his face. And he looks over at Hathron. That means me. And he just kind of rolls his eyes and throws your arm over his shoulder and just kind of is acting like your third leg, your cane, and he's kind of helping you hobble your way out the room, put on some of your, you know, your what's left of your clothes, rather, because a large amount of it's destroyed. So you have some of your extra clothes that were laying around in your luggage and the things and your belongings that you've put on at this point. The others can be mended in time. But you get enough on you that you're at least presentable and can head downstairs and make your way out of here. As you make your way downstairs, Aelin and you make direct eye contact. He sees you coming downstairs. By the gods, what is he doing down here already? And he, you know, kind of walks around the bar top and comes over to you. Alistair, are you all right? You were at Death's Door but an hour or so ago. Well, a few hours ago, but it was so recent. How are you standing? You nearly died.
He kind of grips at his left hip as he looks at Aelin.
I've seen better days, but I know I've certainly seen worse, Aelin Kazan. There's no time to heal, to rest. That dragon will be back very soon, and we need to get some affairs in order.
Yes, that is certain. Well, Alistair, I have a great many questions to ask then. Orcsbane over here has suggested that we take the remaining people and evacuate the town as soon as possible, which I'm inclined to agree. We have a lot of wounded and some that can be evacuated now, and they can be evacuated with some minimal amount of guard. There will be men sent with them, but I have very few men that I can spare at this point without risking the injured and the weak to being exposed to anything. A dragon is the least of our worries at this point. If a small handful of goblins came upon this town at this point, we'd be in danger. But at the same time, I know that we must make a counterattack upon the dragon. I was giving some thought after I had the conversation with Orcsbane. He suggested that we take the men and the women and the children and we leave as soon as possible. He mentioned that the three of you would be potentially heading straight to the dragon to finish what has already begun. Is this true?
We must. If we don't take care of this dragon now, the town of Phandelon will be wiped off the face of the Sword Coast forever. And we cannot have that.
Aye, that is true. He nods and he kind of looks down at the map before him. Well, there are those here amongst the militia that would gladly join you. Stern Stargleam has already requested personally that he accompany you so that you have some sort of Medicaid at your disposal. And there are others like Tora, who I'm sure, if she's out there somewhere when she returns, that will want to help with the counterattack as well. And selfishly, I would like to throw my sword into that mix. My men will need someone that can give them orders. I know them well. And the three of you will need as many swords as you can to get you inside that the walls of Icefire Peak. If that dragon has any sense of intelligence to him, he's turned it into a fortress that is nigh impregnable at this point. You will need all the swords that you can muster, especially if he has any help. Right now, my estimate is myself, Tora, Stern, and I can maybe muster two or three other men. The other men left on my roster will have to stay here, protect the town, and help with the evacuation. But if that is indeed your plan, the militia of Phandalin stands at the ready to join you.
And we will gladly accept your help and the militia's help, Ayland Kazarn. But I fear we may need even more allies. I don't know if it would be enough.
That is very true. Whilst I do not know many others, you do have a few other friends in this town. We are still searching for Lady Adabra. I have a few men that have personally went to the windmill to investigate the ruins there, and I have other men patrolling the city streets looking and identifying those who were unfortunately frozen. Hopefully she's not found amongst them. Other than that, I do have word that Nibin Botfizzle is alive and well. He is north of here at his shop, if you wish to speak with him. He's there currently. He did check in with me and inquired about you, Lord Darkheart. Alistair. Forgive me. He was inquiring about you, Alistair. So maybe you want to see to him soon. But when the time is ready, find me. And those of us that are ready and able will join you. You have my sword.
Alistair extends his good arm. And you have mine as well, Aelin Kazarn.
Aelin gently shakes your hand, very gently, very gingerly. He sees how much pain you're in. Well, I will let you see to your duties. If you need me, I'll be here coordinating the rest of the evacuation efforts. Thank you all for what you've done for us, your sacrifices. I look forward to killing that dragon. And then he kind of returns and starts walking over to some of the injured townsfolk, the women, the children, the elderly, checking on them personally. Daedalus looks at Alistair and looks at Atheron. Alistair, are we sure it's wise to bring them with us? It might be a death sentence for all of us that go.
Alistair thinks for a moment. He looks at Daedalus, square in his eyes. With a threat this large, Daedalus, I fear we need all the help we can get. These men, they're aware of the risk that comes with wanting to face off against a dragon. Death. Death. Even I have that fear, and I am a broken man, as you can see. And I am willing to die to even give us a glimmer of hope in striking down this dragon. So yes, I say we accept their help. I don't think it's a bad idea, because these people, they want to save their home.
And they have the right to fight for it. Yes. Well, since they have the right to fight for it and you're willing to let them go, I agree. I'm sure Hathron has no disagreements with that, do you?
No.
Well, no, with haste, let's make our way to Nibbins and see what remains of Botvizel's Emporium.
Wait a minute, what about Lady Adabra? Like I said, she's a valuable
asset.
Maybe
we should check on Lady Adabra first.
Yes.
Well, then how are we going to find her?
Alistair thinks for a moment. Looks... He looks off into the distance and starts to think. It's a good question. I do, however, think the best place to look would be the windmill. But I'm not entirely sure if she left there. And I don't
Daedalus... have... Oh, sorry, continue with what you're saying. I don't want to interrupt. No, you're
done. I don't have the best means of tracking her.
Daedalus takes a moment, and you see him kind of... He looks up like he's trying to reach for a thought, as dangerous as that is for him to think like that. And you see Daedalus has like a eureka moment. And he sticks a finger up at one of his clawed fingers and he... Hathron said she wasn't at the windmill. He was over there during the combat. He mentioned that earlier to me. The men that were there at the windmill had likely told her to evacuate. They are dead, but she was not there. If she's anywhere within these this town's now ruined walls, wouldn't it be that she'd be at the Shrine of Luck to Lady Adabra, or not to Lady Adabra, LOL, Lady Tamora, the goddess of luck, her patron?
You're right. I say we head there with haste.
Insert, Batman cutaway at the bang. From over here. We make our way. We, once again, Alistair's hobbled pace, we make our way over to the Shrine of Luck. And as we're there, amongst the rubble of the shrine, the actual, sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? There is a small statue of the goddess Tamora amongst a well where many people have thrown coins into making wishes to the goddess and prayers. And you can see just beside this altar, kneeling and praying, is Lady Adabra. She's kind of off to the side. Most people that have been walking up and down the city streets can't see her from where she is, but she is in a deep, deep prayer. Hands and knees prostrated, and she has her hands like kind of in a prayer motion above her head as her head is at almost at the ground. Very quietly, Daedalus approaches with you, Alistair. And Hathron, are you next to them or are you trailing behind a little bit?
I'm next to you guys, but I'm not being quiet.
Okay. As we approach, she's still praying. But as Alistair and Daedalus approach, she doesn't really notice. But Hathron, as you're approaching, you kind of start walking amongst the rubble and you kick a few rocks. And Lady Adabra kind of shoots out of her trance. You see her whole body sort of shake and she jumps. And she turns and looks. Oh,
keep the goddess. It's you. You're alive. You're alive. We're alive. I'm so happy to see you all. I've been here for some time. I began praying when the dragon attacked and haven't stopped since. I lost track of the world around me, it seems. Alistair, what happened to you? Where's the dragon?
It's flown off. I got completely crushed. Mangled. But Stern Stargleam was able to put me back together as best as he could. He grabs his like rib cage. Still in a seething amount of pain. We wanted to come find you and make sure you're all right. I'm just glad to see that you're still alive.
Yes, with the lady's blessings, I was lucky enough to be alive and sheltered here. The dragon's passes barely missed me here. Its initial pass upon the town, it went through the courtyard, but I was safe here. The goddess protects. It seems that she's protected you all as well. She looks at you, Alistair. You still have that coin, don't you?
Alistair reaches into his pocket and pulls out the token of luck that Lady Adabra handed to him when they first met.
She smiles, very big smile, and she says, see? She blesses you. She blesses all of you. How did the dragon... Did it leave of its own accord, or... Did you manage to repel it?
I think one of these two could answer that question. Unfortunately, I was unconscious after I launched two fireballs at the bastard.
Daedalus looks over at Hathoron. Just kind of motions to him that he did it. She looks at you, Hathoron.
Hathoron is gonna take his axe out and simply say it met the wrong end.
She nods. So the three of you met this beast in combat and you were able to wound it enough to get it to leave here. Obviously not without suffering wounds of your own, but it bleeds, and you've seen it. That means it can be killed. And I see that it is likely that the three of you are intent on an immediate counterattack. Why else would Alistair be up on his feet so quickly after such grievous wounds? She looks at Daedalus and then looks at Alistair. That is not the truth, is it? Daedalus nods. It is, Lady Adabra. We do intend on an immediate counterattack. Goddess blessings. You three are foolish. You're brave, but you are foolish. You're going to just walk into its den and try to kill it in its own home? He can barely walk. And you barely have any armor left. And well, I will say, you are in great condition, Hathoron. You did well. It's hard to believe that the three of you come out of there alive.
Well, by the
Archon, sure this is...
I am willing to lay my life on the line for these people. If I die, it does not matter. As long as the dragon dies, that is what matters.
She shakes her head for a moment and looks down at the ground. You are stubborn. You are brave, foolish, and you are stubborn. I already know that I cannot convince you otherwise, so I will not try. You three have already been successful in everything else you've done. The goddess watches over you, and I assure you that she still continues to. Farewell. But before you go, I will remain here. I will remain here with the wounded, with the women, the children, the elderly, until the very last soul evacuates this place. And once the dragon is slain, I will return and I will await the three of you. You will return here, and you will come and find me. Is that acceptable?
I think it is beyond acceptable, Lady Adabra.
That is good. She looks at you, Hathron. Orcsbane, is it? That's what they call you?
Yes.
I did not have the pleasure of meeting you when I originally met Daedalus and Alistair. I gave them something, which Alistair has already shown. And she pulls out of her pocket a single coin. This is a token of the Lady Tamora, the Goddess of Luck. I've already told the two of them of a vision that I was given. I saw the two of them. More importantly, I saw others. And amongst these others was you. Conqueror. You have the goddess's blessings. Lady Luck has shined upon you, and she wishes for me to give this to you. Not only is it a symbol of her blessing upon your journey, but you will find in moments of your greatest desperation that it will bring you a second chance, perhaps. That being said, I'm going to once again reiterate what this coin of luck does from Lady Tamora. It's a free reroll once a day on any roll you do. Any one roll. So make sure you put that in your notes.
And like forever? Like it's not one use?
Forever. Forever. Yeah. Every day. You get one free reroll with this dice. This is, so I remember, and this is, you can keep this in, Zach. This is just something that I want to share that we used to do, is we would always have, some people would do inspiration, but we always had like a do-over, a mulligan roll. Like, yeah. We always had one roll you'd get to re-roll per session when we would all play together. This is basically that one re-roll. Yes, it's not necessarily action surge, but something like that. It's like you get to have your one re-roll. So you use your coin of Lady Tamora. You can flip the coin. You can just pull it out, whatever. Describe how you want to use it, and you'll get to redo that roll that you just used. Okay?
Okay.
You get one a day, and this is your blessing from that goddess, because that goddess is sort of playing a matron role to our party currently through Lady Adabra. She says this, Lady Adabra hands the coin to Hathron, looks at all three of us, takes a solemn bow. I will see you when you depart to face the dragon, and I will see you when you return. I'm going to head to the inn and meet with Aelin Kazan. She bows once again and leaves. Daedalus then takes a moment and looks at Hathron and then looks at Alistair.
Well, I take it now is the time we need to go and meet with Botfizzle.
I agree.
So, the three of you leave the Shrine of Luck. As you leave, you kind of get this, you have a sense and a feeling of renewal, in a way. Like, you feel a weight is off of you. Not mentally or physically, but in a spiritual way. Lighter, in a way. The three of you have gathered the rest of your belongings, whatever stuff you had here. Feeling and exiting the Shrine of Luck. Feeling spiritually renewed, in a way. A little lighter. The three of you make your way over to Botfizzle's Emporium. Did you make your way over? You can see what once was Nibbin's spectacular emporium has been largely leveled. About a third of the store still stands,
but it's but ice-covered rubble, and a great many of the magical potions, magical items, artifacts, crafts, destroyed, scattered to the wind, or looted by some of the people during the evacuation. And you see Nibin just kind of sitting there, staring at the Emporium. He's sitting on top of his floating pillow, and you can just see this black cloud kind of hanging over him. It's not actually there, it's like a metaphorical black cloud, but you can just kind of see him, sunken shoulders, looking dreadfully upon what was once his proud business. You see, as you approach, Nibin kind of hears us and turns towards us. Oh, good, you're here. The heroes of Phandalin. Yes, woo! You're alive.
Well, it's good to see you too, Botfizzle. Thanks for saving the town would be more than enough.
Thanks for saving the town? Thanks for saving the town? Well, thanks for saving the town. No, thanks for saving my shop. Do you see this? And you kind of like gestures to the Emporium. It's gone. It's leveled. My life's work. Everything. All my money. All my potions. Everything I've built. Everything I've crafted. All gone. In a moment's notice. In but a short hour, it's all gone. But, that being said, I am alive. The material possessions in here are nothing compared to one's own skin. And I suppose I must thank you, because I did see your valiant efforts, Lord Darkheart, Daedalus, and of course you, the mighty Orcsbane. I saw you flying around like a pterodactyl of some form, chasing after the dragon. Where did you gain the ability to fly?
I used a rope.
Rope. A flying rope, I see. I see. Magic I'm not accustomed to.
No, I...
You can learn this.
I tied the rope to a javelin and threw the javelin into the dragon. I don't use magic.
What kind of children's book? You're not telling me that actually worked.
Well, the dragon's gone, and I'm here, and everyone saw me behind it in the air.
I did. I didn't see a rope. You are correct. You were flying behind it. So you really did repel the dragon's attack. Well, that is good news. So you're here to help me rebuild my store, I see. He smiles from ear to ear. Well, go on. Grab a hammer. Grab some of the wood over there, and we'll get to cracking. How's that sound, boys?
To be honest, Nibin, that is the least of our concern right now.
Why don't you just use your magic?
The least of your concern? What is your concern, then, Master Darkheart? And he takes, like, a little bow to you.
The dragon. Because if it comes back and you even remotely somewhat rebuild your shop, Nibin, if it comes back and destroys it again, you might not make it out with your life this time. You might perish. Your shop may crumble again, and you may yet live. The possibilities are endless. But the dragon... If we kill the dragon, your problems and worries will end.
Well, my problems and worries are taken care of, in a way. We're going to rebuild this eventually, but as you can see, my cohort, Cornelius, is not here. With good reason, he was able to escape with the others, and he has made his way to the southwest of here, along the Boar's Trail. He's heading to the city of Waterdeep to go and perhaps secure us some help from the city. Doubtful, because Cornelius is a bit of a coward, but I do have another shop there, and if he gets there, he can conveniently fix the teleportation circle there, and I can make my way over there and get the hell out of here.
But, that being said, all jokes aside, I am glad that you three were able to repel the dragon, and this town is in your debt. And if I recall, the last time we spoke, I was able to give you some magical potions and artifacts and such, but I promised a list. I promised a list of those who would be willing to help. Perhaps defeat this dragon, Athens. I told you about the Dragon Slayer Greatsword. I don't know if you've acquired that, but I have told you about this list, and I conveniently still have it. It was not destroyed in the attack. So, Nibin floats over. This is for you, and he hands it over to you, Alistair. It's like a folded up little piece of parchment.
Alistair takes it, and he unravels the parchment and looks at what its contents might be.
As you read it, Nibin sort of guides you through what you're reading. What you're seeing there, young Darkheart, is but a small list. I understand you may have been expecting many, many more names, but what I assure you is that the names on this list will be of great aid to you. I have found, thanks to contacts within the city of Waterdeep, those who are indebted to me and work for me, a list of three men that would be great assets to you. At the top of that list, there's a name there. The name is Gugu, the champion of Negdog Fight Club promotion in the city of Waterdeep. He is a valuable warrior. Champion, undefeated in the arena. He may be the only being on the Sword Coast comparable to the Orcsbane. Not saying he's as good as you, Orcsbane. Please don't hurt me. Next on the list, you have here one Agent Fastfoot. This Agent Fastfoot is a bit of a tricky one to put a specific moniker on. A halfling, he is an agent of the Raven Queen, but he is, and those in the know and have any semblance of knowledge of him, he is an excellent swordsman, unmatched in his skill in a duel or with the blade. He would be a great asset to you. And at the bottom of the list is one Belgos the Thurden. Belgos the Thurden is a Drake Warden. He is someone expertly accustomed to dragons, dragonkind, and anything that is related to dragons or their ilk or kin. His knowledge and his ability to track dragons and maybe identify their weaknesses would be of great aid to you. All three of them are located in the city of Waterdeep. Now, I don't have a teleportation circle, so I can't just send you to the city of Waterdeep. That's why Cornelius is on his way there now. But, if I do recall, Alistair, did I not give you a teleportation scroll?
Alistair reaches into his satchel and pulls out a case that is used to store scrolls, and he pops it open, pulls out the scroll, and it has a purple seal on it, and he unravels it, and there's a bunch of these arcane runes all over it. I believe this is a teleportation circle, at least on my basic understandings of magic, but I know the basics of how the teleportation spell works. If I'm familiar with the place, we have a higher chance of getting there. And I spent a good portion of my childhood in Waterdeep, luckily for these two, so.
Well, that is good. When do you plan on departing? I may be evading this.
Maybe right now.
Oh, right now. He looks at Daedalus and he looks at Hathoron. Right now? Really? He looks at you, Hathoron. Right now?
Yeah. Why else would we, what would we stay here for?
He looks at Daedalus. Right now? Daedalus looks at him, and he just nods. Well, Alistair, I will say someone to cast this level of magic may need a little bit more, not to insult you, and I don't mean this in a derogatory way, they may need to be a little bit more versed or powerful in the magical arts, and you are strong, and I can see the potential in you, but you are unfamiliar with this magic. Perhaps you save this scroll And allow me to see it for a moment. I'm going to do something.
Sure. He hands it over.
May I? He takes a scroll, and you see Nibin uses some form of magic to make another scroll appear. He begins enchanting this scroll with his inert magic using his wand, and he copies your scroll to another piece of parchment, handing you your scroll back. Nibin then takes the new scroll, lays it out on the floor before him, and begins reciting a few key words that only you can understand because you are the mage of the group. And you can hear it, and it's some form of like old, it's an arcana sort of based language, I would say, in like English terms or in our world terms, like Latin almost. And Nibin is speaking of teleportation, activating the scroll, and teleporting the four of you, himself included, to the city of Waterdeep. He asks, as this scroll begins to glow an ethereal purple light, you see a teleportation rune open up on the ground before you and begin to glow like a sort of holographic light through the ground.
Step inside the circle, gentlemen. Come on, come on, I haven't caught all day.
Daedalus steps inside, dragging you inside, Alistair. Hawksbane, come on.
Yeah, Hathron will step in the circle.
Oh, it's only a little bit of magic, Hathron. It can't hurt you. It's fine.
He says as he like kind of motions you towards with his little hand, like kind of touching your arm. As you step inside, Niven goes, "Shia Kazing!" And then, poof! As a purple light erupts around all of you, your vision is blinded. You lose all sense of sound. You can feel reality twist and bend around you, as most unpleasant as your stomach sort of flits inside of you. A moment passes. Blackness turns to this blinding light. Eventually, your eyes get used to it. You look around. Daedalus, Alistair, Hathron, you're still together, about relatively standing where you were before. And you stand outside these massive walls, standing nearly 50 feet high, these largely cobblestone walls stand before you, covered in different bannerments and flags, emblems, heraldry of the city of Waterdeep, the Lord's Alliance, and the City Watch. You are now outside of the city of Waterdeep. But that is where we're going to end our session. Everyone, I wanted to thank you for taking the time and taking another day to listen to our podcast, whether it was one episode or all the episodes. I appreciate your viewership. I appreciate your patronage. Thank you so much for spending time with us. And I can't wait to see you all in the next one. For everyone here at Forge D20, we look forward to seeing you in the next episode, whether it's Tales of Lodrienth or back here for Thrones. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Before we end this episode, I want to give a special shout out to our patrons on Patreon, Melanie Droz, Melanie Cochialone, and Anakin Gross. Thank you for supporting what we do, and we love you so much. Take it easy.